The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Monday. Welcome to the program. I pray you and yours had a blessed weekend. And we are here for the start of a brand new week and a brand new program in terms of this hour that we always start with our impact segment. 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I want to thank Pastor Rob McCoy and everybody at Godspeak Church for giving me an opportunity yesterday to share a little bit about our upcoming KMG event on the 26th. That is a church that is on fire for the Lord, and Pastor Rob is shepherding quite a flock. I was blown away. I sat there for three services, 9, 11, and 1, and Rob kept telling me, you know, you can leave, and I'm like, no way. I literally sat for 6 hours in my chair. Now, a lot of pastors, understandably so, they'll prepare a message, and if they have two or three services, they'll share the same message. Now, there was an underlying theme, but I have to tell you, I got fed for 6 hours. It was like the analogy, trying to drink out of a fire hose. I couldn't get enough. And that church is extraordinary, and what they've done, what they've stood for over the last year is extraordinary, especially in light of our state and what's going on, what has been going on, what's going on now as it applies to the church. We begin with an item that, if you don't know, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but we should not be surprised. All of the talk about the June 15th opening, well, Governor Newsom has changed his mind again. This is not about public health. I pray, and Rob's message yesterday was about awakening the church. Governor Newsom, yet again, has extended his own emergency powers and the California's COVID state of the emergency, despite vaccinating more than 46 million Californians. Katie Grimes writes, this is no longer about public health, hasn't been for a long time, but about his power, control, and obedience by the people. By the way, if you have comment for this impact segment, have at it. Newsom promised to open our state on June 15th, and now he's backed off. He's moved the goalposts again for the ninth time. The ninth time. One commentator said this, quote, so much of progressive totalitarianism is simply creating problems, then fixing problems, all while imposing even more confiscatory taxation and stifling regulation and expanding the public union bureaucracy with additional layers of accountability and prevailing wages. It's a mouthful. California Globe reported, quote, Governor Gavin Newsom announced Friday that he will extend his emergency powers in the state of emergency, as well as some masking mandates past the June 15 reopening date, keeping intact the emergency powers and the one-man decisions first granted to him last year, end quote. There's a little more. Any comments? Did you know this? Did you hear about it? What do you think? Do you support this? Are you upset? Grimes writes, at this point, either the California legislature can revoke his emergency powers, and they should have already done that, according to Grimes, or the pending recall election, if successful, could remove him from office. How did the governor share this message? Oh, it's so amazing. Did he call a press conference? Did he have people there? Was the media present? Nope. He did a speech on YouTube. Oh, it's really something special, isn't it? Because of his 15-month state of emergency and lockdown orders, the governor has been able to avoid live press conferences and any real one-on-one press scrutiny. I'm looking at the phones. Maybe our phones are not working today. Maybe you're shocked. Maybe no one's listening. Maybe you don't care. Yet again, those of us that circle June 15 on our calendar, you can put a big X through it. In a speech made before his, quote, vax for the win lottery drawing, end quote. Ugh. Newsom said, quote, the one thing I'm certain of is this. There's uncertainty in the future. The emergency remains in effect after June 15 because we're still in a state of emergency. This disease has not been extinguished. It's not vanished. It's not taking the summer months off, end quote. Really? Have you seen the numbers lately, Gov? Oh, is that because so many people are vaccinated? Interesting. Of course there's uncertainty in the future. That's always the case, is it not? What he just says is typical political doublespeak. It doesn't mean anything. As for this disease has not been extinguished, it's not vanished, it's not taking the summer months off. How many times has he said this? And not one in the media has said anything about the absurdity of these statements. Coronavirus is a virus. It's not going to vanish or be extinguished ever. It's going to be around. It may not be as impactful as it has been. Senator Scott Wilk said this. He's in Santa Clarita, locally here. Quote, if Newsom believes the state is safe enough to reopen, then it's safe for people to be able to make decisions for themselves without his arbitrary and capricious rules. Wilk said, I believe it's time for him to hang up his crown and restore our democracy. In California, we don't grow bananas, so there's no need for a banana republic. Since the governor refuses to relinquish his crown, the legislature should pass legislation such as Emergency Powers Termination Bill, SRC 5, and do it for him, end quote. Grimes writes, is the virus only present in California, not the other states? Why are at least 45 other states open? It was during the April 6th press conference. Newsom said more than 20 million vaccines had been administered and announced, quote, it's time to turn the page on our tier system and begin looking to fully reopen California's economy. We can now begin planning for our lives post-pandemic, end quote. That was April 6th, 888-528-2557. As the Pink Floyd song says, is anybody out there? Again, we haven't checked the phones, but I'm assuming they're working. California is not going to reopen on June 15th. Not that any of us ever really thought it would. It may never reopen like we had it as long as we let it go on like this. What happened to his lingo about the promising future? Newsom also announced on Friday that the mask mandate will not be ending in full, breaking the promise he made last month. And all mask mandates ending on June 15. He said he's going to be following the new Cal OSHA recommendations, requiring masks in many workplaces until at least July 31st. There's a surprise. We talked about that last week. Despite the mask order lacking any science behind it, This announcement made it clear that the people are being manipulated and controlled. Grimes writes, Cal OSHA's order, in obvious collusion with the governor, now requires all employees to wear masks, even if one employee is unvaccinated. So if you want to keep your job, even if you've been vaccinated, you got to wear a mask at work. Oh, my goodness. By the way, a recent University of Louisville study found that, quote, mask mandates and use are not associated with lower SARS-CoV-2 spread among U.S. states. Isn't that a big surprise right there? All right. 888-528-2557. We have some open lines. I got an email. Your phones are not working. Well, I don't know if that's true. We do have open lines. Do you have any thoughts, any comments about Governor Newsom's latest? Hey, we're still in trouble. Can't open things up yet. And according to Katie Grimes from California Globe, this is the ninth time he's said this. We have at least two working lines. Cecilia in Long Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to share, I am so outraged by this. This is just another tactic by this Democratic left that are entitled. He feels entitled. He's power hungry. It's disgusting. I think he's a coward, and he should be a man and man up and let the country open up, let the state open up. Other countries and other states are doing it. I'm flabbergasted by all the people that are ignoring this. Like, why aren't more people outraged? Why are we not marching up to his stupid office or Sacramento and just, you know, demanding him to be kicked out of office? I don't know. I just don't know. He's playing with our lives is what he's doing. It's a form of control. Nobody needs a mask anymore. You know, people are vaccinated. What is his problem? California is one of the highest states in vaccination. You know, I think I'm going to move out of California and probably move to Florida.
I laugh because I don't want to cry on the air. Cecilia, thank you. You and a lot of other people have considered the same realities. Let me take a few more calls here, and I think we are having problems with the phones. Oh, well. 888-528-2557. CC is in Oceanside. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, yes, Frank. I'm just wondering why on earth it took so long for the initiative to get rid of Governor Newsom. Why can't it get sped up? I mean, it's been, people have signed millions of votes for quite some time. But he's still in office.
Let me respond. You've got your radio out. It's distracting. I'm not sure what you mean by why the petition has taken so long. There's a certain period of time by which a petition becomes something that can be acted upon. You go through that period of time, and if X amount of signatures have signed on, and if they are deemed legitimate, then there's another 30-day window period, which I think just about ended. So we should be hearing something very soon. I do suspect this will be on the ballot. My concern is who's going to beat him in a runoff. I with respect, I get people emailing me, hey my grandson or my friend who has an uncle, they're running. I mean, there's a bunch of people. And if you think you have a chance to win, well, God bless you. But other than maybe John Cox, who gave him a run before, I'm not sure who would be a formidable alternative in terms of the voting public here in California. And don't get me going on, can we even have a legitimate election? 888-528-2557. Let's clear CC so we have a line open because we have phone challenges today. Nancy in Seal Beach are on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi.
Hi, Nancy.
Thanks for taking my call. And I'm behind getting Gavin Newsom out of there.
had petitions signed and everything. It's just crazy what he's doing. And we're not going to give up.
So when you say we're not going to give up, so what would be a point of action here? If what can we do to not give up?
I'm hoping that he does get recalled. I mean, we've collected so many signatures, and
well, he
believe that that's a possibility.
Yeah, he has been recalled. That's already happened.
Oh.
But what are we going to do?
Ah, okay. Maybe I missed part of it.
Yeah, there will be a recall election. We're waiting to hear when that is. The recall petition was approved. We're just waiting for an actual time factor here. Thank you for the call. You know, from my perspective, and I don't want to sound cynical here, I just don't know if we have the will here in California. You know, this supposedly is a blue state. I've read all sorts of crazy emails. You know, God bless you for forwarding me things. I think some of you don't bother to do your homework. You just think, well, this doesn't fit the narrative that we're being bombarded with, the propaganda narrative, so it must be true. Like somehow Donald Trump took California or such things with no verification whatsoever. But I think it's pretty safe to say we're a blue state, and the idea of if the governor is going to be recalled, it looks like that's the case. Again, who's going to beat him? Caitlyn Jenner? Yeah, I just we'll see. If you're just joining us, last Friday, the governor announced for a ninth time he's moving the date by which California was going to reopen from June 15th to July 31st. Going with Cal OSHA's recommendation. Cal OSHA? Are they public health experts? I thought they had to do with the workplace. Maybe I'm wrong. 888-528-2557. We've got some people wanting to talk a little bit about the vaccine and mask wearing. And we've got some calls here. We do have access to about half of the normal calls. So if you're emailing me saying you can't get through, you get a busy signal, I'll clear lines as soon as possible. Let us talk to 1, 2, 3, 4. Angie in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. It makes me so angry. My thought is, what would happen if we just didn't wear masks? What if we just started either, I don't care, like if the business says you have to wear a mask to enter, you have to wear a mask for food, either we boycott and we don't go, like we take a day during the week and we just let them see how many of us will not come into their establishment, or we just don't wear a mask and we wait for them to throw us out and not get our business. You know, I don't know, but I think people need to see how many people don't believe what we're being fed and told, like visually. And we can't care whether we're hurting someone's feelings because they have a mask, or, you know, we're not the left, or we must be one of those crazy conspiracy people. I mean, we know by the science that these masks don't help. We know that our kids not be getting a vaccination. We know that we can't trust our government. I mean, we have to do something to show who we are and that we're here and that we count.
Well, I support your passion, but I want to tell you, the we part, I think you do speak for some, but you don't speak for all. I think part of the challenge is we probably have a whole lot of other Californians that buy into his fear tactics, believe somehow that, oh my goodness, shutting down the state, closing down businesses, that's a good thing. I've even read statistics and surveys that say a lot of Californians, even if they did take away the mask mandate, they're still going to wear their mask, right? The conditioning's really worked over the last year. Fear porn is a real addiction. Now, your deeper question about if a significant amount of us do something, right? Make a stand. I think that's a worthwhile endeavor. I'll just give you my take on it. I think part of the problem has always been the lack of leadership in that area. Like, is someone going to step forward? And there are groups that are trying to consolidate activistic views. They're tired of the lockdowns, etc. And I'm really resisting saying what wants to come out of my mouth. So let me say it more in a overgeneralization and a broad stroke, and then we'll take a break and come back with more calls if we can get some calls on the screen. 888-528-2557. Let me give it a go here. Yesterday was D-Day. Thousands of men risked their lives, lost their lives, so that we can have freedom in this country. And that was back, yes, in 1944. 75 years ago, plus. But I heard it said, and I think it's a statement that applies. I think there are some of us that would rather be taken care of than work to preserve freedom. Because it comes at a cost. Take care of me, government. Oh, you're going to send me another check? Great. Why should I go back to work? I'm getting paid better. Free education? Oh, absolutely. Forgive my student debt. Free health care for all. We're just printing money in D.C. now. Who cares about what's to come? Who cares about being responsible for the debt? And I'm not saying single-handedly that's all been the Democrats. It's not. But we have a new administration that's on the left. We have a House and a Senate that's on the left. And they're just going carte blanche, thumbs up, print the money out. And you see kind of crazy things. Crazy in a sense if you don't examine deeper. You know, we've got pipelines that this administration shuts down. And yet they're making deals with Iran to bring oil in. Try that one on for size. There's a lawsuit going on right now. We'll talk more about it. Day one, he shut down the pipeline. So it seems to me that if said American, somebody that professes to be a legitimate U.S. citizen, even people that are illegal these days seem to be getting all sorts of rights that even some of us that are legal citizens are not getting necessarily. But that argument aside, this idea, if you love this country, can you not see there is a concerted effort to undermine the very foundation of 244 years of what we had in this country? You got the 1619 Project. The founders were all a bunch of racists. We got to throw all that out. Right? This is about division. I look to a, and I don't mean to just pull him out of the hat here, but like Charles Barkley, an NBA analyst, he can see beyond the trees. He sees what's going on. They're trying to divide us. Whether it's your political ideology, whether it's the color of your skin, there are people, entities, groups, individuals that hate this country, and we're under attack right now. But so many of us, maybe not you, not me, not you, not you, we're so afraid. We've been conditioned over the last year to be in fear of a virus that 99-point-whatever the population will survive this thing. It's not like this is the Black Plague. And yet here we are, California. There's Newsom again. Oh, hey, we got extended some more. This is about control. It's about political opportunism. It's not about public health. And I think Angie made the point. And don't even have me pull out what the Declaration of Independence says about when a government no longer represents the people. But it's what are we going to do? That's the X factor here. The government is we the people. We the people get the government we deserve, especially in this state, because we the people, not enough of us say, hey, I've had it with this. And the media, that's a conversation for a whole nother segment, how they're so complicit being the propaganda machine of the left. Your thoughts and comments are welcome. 888-528-2557. More of this, The Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to The Frank Sontag Show. Next segment, we'll get into a little bit of the latest on Dr. Fauci's emails and what we've uncovered. You know, we always know that the truth will eventually come to light, and we are seeing absolute proof, undeniably, that we've been lied to. No surprise among many of us. The crazy conspiracy theorists of a year ago, well, goodness gracious, looks like you were all on to something. We'll talk about that next segment. This segment, I'd like to just take calls. We've got a full board. Our phones are back up and running. 888-528-2557. Stephanie in Ontario, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Hi. I suppose the one of the statistics I had, I think this disease was designed to thin the herd, get rid of the people like me, all these little sick that they don't want to pay for us anymore. You know, so what? I got a heart problem. I have a history.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Not that I don't want to hear what you have to say, but the connection keeps going in and out, and I literally didn't understand what you shared at all. So let's see if we can get a better connection. Stephanie, I promise I will come back to you. Mike in Long Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Frank. How are you today?
Mike, I'm okay. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to you for a while, and this conversation I've been kind of wanting to talk about for a little bit of time. You keep bringing up truth, you know, the government, you know, Newsom, and you know, it is a control and power thing. But if we don't, as a church, get pastors to stand for truth, how can we expect our government to speak for truth? I mean, we see such a division in our country and in our churches, not just in the last year and a half on just the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter or any of that other stuff, but even during the Obama years, if you go back to that distance, we've had that division slowly work in the Christian center into the church, and this is where we're at now. And I believe this is just a way of God kind of opening up our eyes to say, okay, seek him, give him the divine appointment that he's calling us as a country, our church, our people to bow down to him and not to the government. And you know what? I almost think that we're in the 60s movement, where the church and the people say, okay, we've had enough, it's time for a protest. And we can protest and not cause violence, but we can stand up for our rights. And we knew right from the get-go, just like you said, that this state was going to come and wasn't going to work with the vaccine, with the mask. We need to stand up and say, okay, we've had enough.
Well, we saw a summer last year where a certain kind of protest was okay. You're talking about protesting now. I don't know if the will of the people would be there, but I'm all for nonviolent protest. Mike, thank you. You mentioned the pulpit. I received this email. The idea that a pastor should not get political in the pulpit on Sunday morning is completely satanic. The gospel engages culture, so the devil fights back using politics among other means. There's no time in human history when the gospel did not engage politics, and intentionally so. For a pastor to preach the true gospel and think that he is not being political is self-delusional. Jesus called out the leaders of his time when it was needed. We should do the same. Thank you, listener Donald. All right, we lost Stephanie. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Maybe somebody can check. The caller's on hold. Sometimes they can hear the radio program. Sometimes they can't. Can we find out? Because I said I want to go back to Stephanie, and we lost her. So my concern is when I put her on hold, she didn't hear anything I said and thinks somehow we just moved on. Stephanie, if you're listening, we want to try to get you back on and get a good connection. All right, we do have one line open, 888-528-2557. Jeff and Marina Del Rey, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Good to hear you. And wanted to talk to you about the Dennis Prager and the pastor from Thousand Oaks. And studied Jonathan Mayhew since my high school time, but I went back and I read through his message on Romans 13. And let me tell you, he excoriates governments that do not do the will of the people. And if you listen.
All right, let me put you on hold, too. Maybe we just have, it's one of those days where cell service is poor. Jeff, hang on. I want to get you on so we can understand what you're saying. Be patient. And maybe we can see if we can get Jeff back on with a clear connection. Nick in Hollywood, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Can you hear me? Am I coming through clear?
Well, you've said about six words. So far, so good.
Okay. Not to sound preaching like that. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm seeing over the years. It's the Antichrist that people don't know. It's all, because they're all religious in it, all is in it, conflict. God's not in it. It's a misconception. It's a place we all got to find. We all, it's a ripple effect, and we all got in it one way or another. We can point at the other guy, and some people do a lot. We know all that corruption, all of that. That's the nature of the world. It really is. That's what politics, and first of all, the whole world is run by politics, and the whole world is corrupted. And everyday people suffer, and they don't know how powerful they are. And it's hard to tell people about when you go Christ, they think you're talking about religion. No, Christ is for real. Religion is the problem. Religion is church and state. There's so many religions. If I was saved, I'd make everybody religious. Keep a shit going and shit is spiritually proper with the theology, politically correct, morally wrong. Politics, it's got ticks in it. When you put people in there with egos and stuff, they're trying to, it's not about that. Politics is what it is.
Well, and you make a good point, Nick. Thank you. It seems like there are those in political office that, well, I think one can kind of wonder, are they in there to represent we the people, or are they there to attain power and control, or maybe other motivations as well? I think those are points worth discussing. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. I didn't take a Susan in Orange County, by the way. It says, think you disconnected her. We had a Stephanie. And let's go back to Jeff and Marina Del Rey. Jeff, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, how do you copy me now? Fine?
Well, hopefully you were good at the beginning and then we kind of lost you. Continue.
All right. Well, I just wanted to talk about that Fireside Chat number 188, and he made a good point about Jonathan Mayhew was a pastor of the time.
Yep.
And his point, Jonathan Mayhew did an entire he interpreted Romans 13, and his interpretation was if the rulers are out there to do good, then the tyranny of the rulers has to be thrown off. So in other words, he's not talking about they credit him in that talk, and there was Ben Franklin and other people who ended up being very powerful said that Jonathan Mayhew was credited with starting the revolution over Christians who had basically said, you know what, enough of the tyranny. It's time that we stop that. And today, it's the same thing.
Well, let me pick up on that. Jeff, I thank you immensely for being patient and calling back. Let's play that clip. Dennis Prager had Rob McCoy on his Fireside Chat recently. You can find it online. It's episode 188 at Prager University. As Jeff was sharing, what about this whole Romans 13 thing?
There was a minister. He died in 1766. And John Adams said this minister was responsible for launching the revolution. all of the clergy on the Eastern seaboard at that time looked at Romans 13, which says God appoints all positions of authority, we're to submit to them because he appoints them and we're to submit to them. But it also goes on to say, and they're appointed for our good. Jonathan Mayhew said, if they're not doing good, they're no longer the authority.
Right.
And that's where they get the idea in the Declaration of Independence, not for light and transient causes. But when you're saying that the church is non-essential, you got a problem. And Jonathan Mayhew, when he wrote that and did that exegetical study of Romans 13 that inspired the revolution, he said, disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. And that was the moniker that carried the revolution.
Oh, was it from him?
From him.
Oh, what a great, right.
And now, that was back when they were dealing with King George and they were dealing with violations. And now we have a constitutional republic, and these folks govern by our consent. And one of the reasons why I stepped down from the city council is because I knew I'd be violating the governor's order. I knew that the council would hold me, mm-hmm. they would censure me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that they'd be violating their oath of office. Because when I took that oath of office, I swore to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. All elected officials all elected officials govern by our consent. The sovereign in America is the first three words of the preamble of the Constitution. We the people. So Romans 13 says God appoints all positions of authority. The authority in America now in a constitutional republic is we the people. Elected officials govern by our consent, and they're constrained by the seven articles of the U.S. Constitution, and they must honor the 27 amendments. When they fail to do that, it is our right and our duty in our birth certificate to push back and say no.
Rob McCoy is senior pastor of Godspeak in Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. 888-528-2557 are the phone numbers to call into the program. More on Dr. Anthony Fauci's emails, looking back on all of the lockdowns and things that we have managed to survive. Scott Atlas weighed in recently. He was formerly on the White House Coronavirus Task Force.
Turns out the advice that was given about the lockdowns was not based on data at all, even though people jumped up and down and said it's, quote, the science, a term which is permanently damaged now. But you have to realize, and I think everyone does, the country implemented the Fauci-Birx lockdowns. And this is what failed to protect the elderly, did not stop the spread of the virus, and destroyed so many people, you know, all the medical care that was missed, particularly the working class and the poor. And beyond the failure of these policies, that really what we see in the emails is an ethical violation of a public health official who never once contemplated or voiced concern about the impact of the policies on the public health. I mean, this is a tremendous, really unconscionable way to conduct public health advice. The other things that are the big issues, if I can go on, are that what happened here is that now we're seeing, what we're seeing here is a potential really corruption, a politicization of the science. These scientists that wrote that letter to Lancet, that may or may not have been orchestrated behind the scenes, but it sure seems like it was, stating something that was not factually true, as if it were, with an attempt to censor dissenting scientists, dissenting views. If the country accepts that sort of behavior from scientists, including journals, specifically top journals like The Lancet, this country's really sort of in deep trouble. You know, I mean, this has really undermined the public trust in expertise, in science itself. I don't know what to say about that, except it really portends a very dark future here if we don't make these people, including the journal editors, accountable. It's bigger than Dr. Fauci, what's been exposed in these emails.
Yes. Dr. Scott Atlas, Also, Miranda Devine is with the New York Post. She talks about, are we ever going to get down to the origins of COVID?
Well, I don't know if they ever will. I think Anthony Fauci's been very clever at shaping the media, particularly on this pandemic story. I mean, he knew from day one that there were reputable scientists who believed that this was a man-made virus. He also knew that he had been funding gain of function, this Frankenstein research to juice up bat coronaviruses in the Wuhan lab, specifically to get around the Obama administration ban. Anthony Fauci was probably the world's greatest fan, greatest supporter of this dangerous gain of function research. And there were hundreds of American scientists who thought it was too dangerous to persist with. They convinced the Obama administration to lift the ban. Then Tony Fauci took advantage of the new Trump administration in their early days in 2017 to go and tell them that there was nothing dangerous, they'd done a review, and to lift that moratorium. And he is, you know, if this is a lab leak, that's why he has a vested interest. The last thing he wants is for anybody in the media to come close to saying, if this is a lab leak, are you responsible for the research that resulted in that lab leak. He doesn't want that. The other person who's very conflicted is the man whose sub-agency, whose non-profit in New York at the NIH through Anthony Fauci was funding. That's Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance. And like Anthony Fauci, he's very powerful in terms of shaping the narrative. You just talked about the Lancet article that he engineered, and also he was the only American person on the World Health Organization investigation whitewash into what happened in the lab.
Miranda Devine is with the New York Post. Now on to Fauci and emails. One commentator said this: the release of Dr. Fauci's emails has proven to be a gold mine for those willing to actually report on them. While the White House press corps asked zero questions of Jen Psaki recently on the matter because they're all left-wing hacks, right-leaning outlets that have consistently been ahead of the curve are busy mining the documents, and what's been discovered so far is nothing short of shocking. In general, the emails tell the tales of lying, manipulative bureaucrats who sought to spin his poor job performance into fame and fortune. To a large extent, he succeeded in that regard, being escorted along the way by a compliant media and others that granted him sainthood. Regardless, the scandal here is real. Taking the issue of masks early on in the pandemic, Fauci himself said publicly that masks don't work due to the particle size of COVID-19 and aren't needed. Later, the doctor would completely flip on that one, talking about how he just had to protect the PPE stockpiles, so he lied. But another stunning email reveals exactly what Fauci was saying privately early on about the masks. He was telling his colleagues that masks weren't necessary and giving scientific reasons for his assertion, which undercuts his present claim that what he was saying publicly was just a lie to influence public behavior. No matter how you slice it, Fauci lied multiple times about masks. If what he's saying privately in this email is true, masks don't work anyway. So why would first responders need huge amounts of them? Given that his later claim that he was initially lying to the American people for the virtuous reason of protecting first responders also seems disingenuous. Further, Fauci piled more lies on top of his previous lies when he changed his public position to be pro-mandatory masking. He's been lying from the beginning, carefully shifting his positions to match what many politicians demanded in the day. Past that, pushing masking the way he did gave cover to him and his political allies. While the previously president was correctly skeptical of masks, Fauci used them as a bludgeon in the public sphere, pretending if every failure was a result of not being masked up enough. The data is coming out. Starting late in the summer of 2020, we know masks were largely ineffective. Most recent study on the efficacy says one and the same. Fauci is lying. He did so to elevate his own profile, and now he has cashed out millions of dollars as a result. Also, many are questioning the science of mask wearing early on anyway, and they were right. What about now? We believe vindication is here for those who were brave enough to stand up and say none of this makes any sense at all. Meanwhile, far too many on the right spend their time telling their fellow conservatives to just go along to get along, giving deference to Fauci until just recently. That's a problem for conservatives. It's one that needs to be talked about going forward. Your comments are always welcomed, either on air or in an email. Email address is franksontag@kprz.com or franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.